In the name of Jesus, amen. Our text is the lesson just read. Bread. In the ancient world, it became a symbol for life and for all that was needed to sustain life. Today's text holds before us a perception of our Lord that many who came to him came not perceiving the bread of life, but rather a free meal ticket. I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. As St. John penned these words, they must have echoed down through his apostolic experience with a particular irony. He could recollect the faces of those men who had perceived Jesus as a ticket to security. They saw him as a way to a luxurious life, replete with all their wants fulfilled and without any wants still outstanding. And those men, in all likelihood, were still alive when these words were penned. But the apostolic circle, those men who came to see Jesus as the bread of life, most of those, if tradition is accurate, save John, forfeited their life. So that for those who truly understood Jesus, there was anything but carnal security. Indeed, it cost them their life. It must have been painful for this grand apostle throughout his ministry to periodically receive news that another of the apostolic college had forfeited his life in martyrdom. And yet what joy it must have given him to pen this chapter under inspiration, or to later write his Revelation of St. John, where he so eloquently portrays the victory of the martyrs in the blood of the Lamb. Bread. What kind of appetite do you and I have for it? After all, our culture, while not particularly hospitable to clergymen, is not at the same time hostile. None of us, I would suggest, very often toy even in our imagination with the idea that our discipleship and our service might lead to martyrdom. Indeed, I don't think the recruitment people would like the apostolic recruitment brochure saying 11 of 12 of our alumni have been martyred. The very mention of such things almost sounds morbid, does it not, in our day? When we're used to talking about joy and evangelism explosion and all the wonderful things that we can rightly rejoice in. Yet, there is need for a caution on the basis of our text. For our discipleship will mean some social standing in our community. In most cases, a comfortable, if not a pretentious, lifestyle. And we even can gain respect from those outside our parish circles. For any astute American politician knows that religion can be used just as effectively in the furtherance of his career as in its hindrance. We, as professors or students, rather like at moments these trappings and blandishments which are offered us. This age will tolerate us if we will even grudgingly tolerate it. And so it sends to us the invitation to sit down at its table and eat its bread. So clergy, like the age, is invited to divorce its wives, to exchange wives, to run our congregations with a variety of psychological gimmicks or with group dynamics, to serve up entertainment, and to, at a minimum, eliminate the law either through moralism or through Judaizing, so that the sinful human ego might still have its pride of place in working out our salvation. We must confess, I believe, that our taste buds are sensitive to such bread, and that we, at least in some moments, are receptive to such discipleship. Jesus, in this scheme, serves that sort of bread at our table. But the eating of this bread sets our teeth on edge. We look for fullness and satisfaction, but we end up empty and dissatisfied. We long for that perfect parish, or for that perfect spouse, the perfect seminary, but it's not to be found, and so we become overly critical or even despair. Thomas Howard, an English professor at Gordon College, has asserted that the church needs more men who have found the pearl of great price, and beside which all other things appears manifestly without value. He puts it like this: try any lure, God's greatest servants cannot be sold. They will not buy thrones, saloons, wealth, fame, or be sold out by Regius professorships. They all seem as nothing to such men. We, brethren, can be those kind of men. Why? Because we have tasted the bread of life. In our baptism, the Lord has set a lavish banquet for us, and we can feed on it throughout our whole life, rejoicing that in our baptism we are now and forever God's children. Furthermore, the gospel, as we hear it daily proclaimed, holds before us in wonderful array the full atoning, justifying work of Jesus Christ. We are fed richly in this place by the bread of life, even as we can, through faithful communion attendance, come to that table wherein we meet the very body and blood of our Lord given for us and for our redemption. This theological diet suddenly changes our whole perspective. We now are free from those slaveries that the cyanide-laced crumbs of Satan bear for us. Christ's life, the totality of his work, is now our life. Our life seeks only the bread of life, for his righteousness dispels our guilt, and his resurrection destroys our death. As the great Christian poet George Herbert put it, "Awake, sad heart, whom sorrow ever drowns. Take up thine eyes which feed on earth. Unfold thy forehead gathered into frowns. Thy Savior comes, and with him mirth." We, my brothers in Christ, have the privilege of taking up our eyes which feed on earth and beholding the Savior who bears with him the only mirth and happiness that there is. Luther possessed this God-given merriment in his life. Read his works, and they radiate this love for God and for his creation. And he had his share of troubles. Yet in the midst of all that, he simultaneously bore a deep love for his spouse, for his children, for his people, for his church, and could then sing, "Take they our goods, fame, child, and wife, they yet have nothing won, the kingdom ours remaineth." Even martyrdom cannot corrode such God-given merriment. As the poet continues, "Awake, awake, and with a thankful heart his comforts take. Arise, sad heart, if thou do not withstand, Christ's resurrection thine may be. Do not by hanging down break from the hand, which as it riseth, raiseth thee. Arise, arise, and with his burial linen dry thine eyes." That is delicious bread. It's the bread of life. Even as our Lord has said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry." Amen.